Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
For those who don't know who I am, my name is Michael, and it's my privilege to be assisting at this church, assisting our rector, Reverend Paul Kayumba. I'm a missionary, and I've been in Zambia for 2 years, and I now have a Zambian son also. So he's fast asleep. Caleb is home. Many of you have been praying for Caleb to come home. He is home, and we thank God for that. It's a new year. There are many new things happening this year. I want us this morning to focus on one particular verse in this passage as our Vision Sunday sermon. We'll go through most of the passage, but I want us to be focusing really on this passage in verse 19, which says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing, a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." This is the new thing that God has promised to do in this text for these people. And we're going to see what does this also mean for us today. So let this be our focus as we move forward this morning in this time together. But won't you bow with me as we pray, because we're going to need the Lord's help. I am going to need the help as well as you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word that has been read here this morning. Thank you that we can understand it because it's in a language that we understand. And yet, Father, we still need your help to understand this more, because we recognize that this is inspired by your Holy Spirit. We know that you, by your Holy Spirit, can open these words for us and help us to understand them better. And we ask, Lord God, that you will do that for us this morning. We need your help to listen to you and to hear your words. I need your help this morning to speak your words this morning. So please, won't you help us by your Holy Spirit? We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this new year, 2025, actually is a wonderful year for Renee and I as a couple, because it has changed significantly, drastically. Those of you who are parents, I think you know how a family changes when a child comes into the family. And we maybe could not have anticipated the extent of the change, but we are grateful to God for the little Caleb and for how our lives are changing. God is doing a new thing in our lives with Caleb in our home. In fact, I don't know where you spent New Year's Eve. We heard this morning of a tragic crossover accident with the Mulenga family, Agatha's mother. We know that she was in a crossover service. Many people in Zambia like to go for crossover service. I don't know where you were. I was not at a crossover service. I was invited actually to the Madsen's house to spend some time there with others from ACU, the students, doing just celebrating together, fellowshipping, and there was some fireworks display that was promised. I didn't last until the fireworks. Because we have a new thing going on in our house. We have a young child. Caleb has really changed the way that we celebrate New Year. I don't know where you spent your New Year. I see that Sister Ngoma is smiling at me because she too has a new child with our Paul Ngoma. In their home. So it's a new thing. It's a new journey that we're on, isn't it? It's nice to be on that journey together. So it's a new year. New things are upon us, for us as a family. Here at the church, we're also facing something new. We have lost Eliel Kayumba. She was a great blessing to our church. And though the Kayumba family have gained another son, we have lost Eliel to the Baptists. Right, because Eliel is now a Filakati. And for her, life is going to be changed. For Chilambu, life is new. It's a whole new year. This 2025 is new for them as a couple. And even for us as a church, this year is going to be new, because we don't have Elil with us anymore. She was such a great help in our church, serving in various ways, but she's not here. So we're going to have to learn how to handle this new year without Elil. So new things are upon us, and there are massive changes ahead. We've heard about a working committee. We've heard the confession of Rashford and Lena here this morning. There are so many new things that are taking place this year. God is clearly doing something new in our church. So I'm going to be referring to some of those things as we move forward in our Vision Sunday sermon, which I have, as you can see on the image behind me, hopefully, yes, a waterway in the wilderness. A waterway in the wilderness. As we look ahead to 2025, I don't know, maybe for you it might feel like a wilderness, like a desert, right? Difficult times ahead. But what God has promised here is, I will make a way in the wilderness. And I want us to be encouraged today. I want us to be encouraged this morning that God knows about the wilderness. He knows about the desert. He knows where we are meant to be reaching, and He will make a way. He will make a way for us in the desert. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's have a look at this passage, starting from where Kohath read for us, from verse number 14. I want you to see there, the first words there is, "Thus says the Lord." Thus says the Lord. So here we are going to see what the Lord is saying. But who is he speaking to? Well, we see in the next line there, he says, "O Holy One of Israel." So this is the God of Israel. But I want us to be clear about where Israel is, where they were when they received this word from the Lord. Israel was in a very, very dark place, a very difficult place, separated actually from their home country by a big desert. Israel was in Babylon. They had been taken captivity by the Babylonians. Their city had been destroyed. Their temple had been destroyed. And they were in captivity in Babylon. That is not a nice place to be. But they were there as a punishment because they were not obeying the Lord. And so they had been there for more than 75 years in captivity when this word of the Lord comes to them in that dark desert place. Well, Babylon is not a desert place, but it is a spiritual or metaphorically a desert because they're far from their home country. And as we'll see later on, there is a big desert that separates Babylon from Jerusalem. Israel is in captivity. But I want you to notice verse 14. The Lord speaks into this situation. And he starts off by saying, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer." Your Redeemer. This is an important word. Because of their situation in captivity, they need to be redeemed. They need to be delivered. That's what that word is implying. I am your deliverer. I am your redeemer. So we can anticipate that God is going to say something in order to help them be redeemed. We also see that he is the Holy One. But what does he say? Look at the words that God says. For your sake, I send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives. Even the Chaldeans in the ships in which they rejoice. I want you to notice there what God is promising to do to the Babylonians. What's he promising to do? I will bring them down. Now the word Chaldeans and the word Babylonians, they are interchangeable. They're the same people. It's just a different word for the same people group, the Babylonians and the Chaldeans. And what this idea is here in the ships, Babylon was on a river. The city of Babylon was right on a big river, and ships used to pass from the ocean to that city to bring in supplies. And it was what made Babylon a big trade city. It was what made it great. But here, the Lord is saying that even these people who rejoice in their ships, they are going to be what? Brought down. And so this is what God is promising as he opens up. He says, I am your redeemer, and I will bring down the Babylonians and the Chaldeans. Then he finishes in verse 15 by saying again who he is. I am the Lord, the Holy One. We hear that again. The Holy One. The Creator of Israel. Your King. God is the Creator of His people. Here we are sitting as Christ Church Lusaka in this venue. We have our own history as we have come to this point. But we know that it is God who has put us together like this. Christ Jesus is the one who builds the church. He is the creator of his people, and here we are sitting. And God reminds the people of Israel while they're in Babylon that I'm the one who created you. I'm the one who established you as a people. I know you are currently in a bad place, in a desert place. But I will deliver you, says God. The ones who are oppressing you, I will bring them down. And this is a wonderful way to start off such a message to people who are in a dark and dreary place. I don't know where you are today. Are you in a dark and dreary place? If we as a church look forward to 2025, we know there's lots ahead of us. We are not where we want to be. We are not... We don't have our own property as a church. We want our own property. Here we are renting very, very expensive. We need to buy our own place. But how can we buy our place? There are obstacles in front of us. Yes, we've got lots of good which we can celebrate. But where we need to be, we're not there yet. So in one sense, we are like the Babylonians. We're in a place where we don't want to be, right? I don't know where you are spiritually in your walk with the Lord, as you're battling with sin in your relationships, at work, different things. Are you where you want to be? I don't think so. I think God is still working in you. He's your Redeemer. He will still take you to a place which is better than we are now. We come back to that idea. Verse 16, the Lord says something else. Thus says the Lord. Now, before he actually says what he's going to say, he describes himself. Have you seen there? Verse 16, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. What on earth could God be referring to there? I wonder if any of the kids can help me. What could God be referring to there? The Lord who makes a way in the sea. Bernice, I can see you've got it on the tip of your tongue. You want to try? That is 100% correct, Bernice. That is it. God, during the Exodus, when God delivered the people of Israel from captivity in Egypt so many hundreds of years before this moment, they came up to another boundary, another obstacle. And that time it wasn't a desert, but it was an ocean. It was the Red Sea, which was in front of them. And the Egyptian army was behind them chasing. They felt trapped in a very bad place. And what did God do? As Bernice has reminded us, God opened up the ocean to make a pathway, to make a way in the ocean. And that's what we see here. Thus is the Lord who makes a way in the sea. It's an impossibility. How can a way and a path be made in the sea? Well, God did it. He made a path in the mighty waters. Impossible. God did it. But something else. Another description of God, not just the one who makes a way in the sea, but also the one who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. Who's being referred to here? Well, these are the Egyptians that are chasing them, the ones oppressing them, the ones trying to kill them. The Bible says God is the one who brings them forward. He brings them. He brings the Egyptian army with all their chariots and horses and their army and their warriors. And he does what with them? He makes them lie down so that they cannot rise. And they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. You know when a candle is burning and you put out a candle? Just throw a cup of water on the candle. Do you think it can last? No. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. The way that God has described what he did to the Egyptians in this verse, he has in four different ways described their destruction. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, like quenched like a wick. And this is what God is reminding the people of Israel about. And so my first point here this morning is that we must remember God's faithfulness. Remember God's faithfulness. God says, look, I am doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing. But before he speaks about the new thing, he reminds them of an older thing. The older faithfulness that God displayed. And this was how he destroyed their enemies. He brings out the Egyptians to what? To destroy them. But remember what he said in verse 14. He said, I'm going to do the same thing to the Babylonians. The Babylonians who are now oppressing you, I will bring them down. I will bring them down. So there is a reason why God is reminding them of the past faithfulness. The past faithfulness. And here is a church, Christ Church Lusaka. If we think about the journey that we have come along. Now, I've only been with this church for 2 years. For 2 years. But the church has been going for much longer than 2 years. This church was started in 2019. Not here at Golden Peacock, but in Kayumba's house, Minwood, right? There is still a small group of people gathering. But see how God has brought us from that moment, meeting in the home, in the lounge, then moving to a hall nearby. I think, Russell, that's where you found the church, right? In the hall. And then from there, the church moved to Unza, and we were renting at Unza. And we were growing there as a church. That's where we as a Watson couple came and joined the church. We found you there. And since then, we've been walking this journey together. We saw that the doors at Unza were closed one Sunday when we reached there. We had all arrived for church, but the doors were locked. We thought, how are we going to have church today? But God made a way. God was faithful. He provided another place for us to worship in for a number of months. While we were looking for a new venue, at that time, we were meeting at the SIM boardroom. God was faithful to provide that. You know, we didn't pay any rent for that place. It was provided to us free of charge. Free of charge. God was faithful in the past to our church. And then as we looked around Lusaka looking for venues to rent, we thought this is going to be too difficult. Lusaka properties are so expensive. But then God led us to this particular place. And yes, this is expensive, but we have it very good here. We're seated on comfortable chairs. We have a projector. We have a microphone and sound system, which we're all renting here, which we don't own any of these things. God has provided for us as a church. He's been faithful to give us what we have right now. Remember God's faithfulness. That's what God is doing here when he reminds the people of Israel who are in captivity in Babylon. He reminds them, he said, remember when you were stuck at the Red Sea? I made a way for you in that Red Sea. Your enemies who are oppressing you, I destroyed them. They're lying down, extinguished, never to rise. God is reminding the people of his past faithfulness. And we need to also be reminded of God's faithfulness to us as a church. In 2024, we have seen our kids' ministry starting up. We've seen kids' leaders being trained through the generosity of others who have provided for their training fees. We have sent students to George Whitfield College in 2024. Look how God has been faithful to us. He has provided. We had no means to send them, but God has covered all the costs through the generosity of his people. We even have taken on board a ministry apprentice, something that we as a church could not have found a way to do, but God found a way. God made a way. Remember God's faithfulness is how God has brought us to this point. And I want you to be encouraged this morning to trust that the God who has been faithful in the past is the same God who will be faithful in the future as we look towards 2025 and we see where we need to be, where we want to be, but we're not there yet. Remember, the God who was faithful in the past is the same God who will be faithful to take us where we need to be. Let us trust God. Trust God who has been faithful in the past. But this brings us up to the next point, which might seem like a contradiction. Because the next point I want to deal with is that we must forget the former things. Forget the former things. Why does God remind the people of the former things? Why does God remind people of his past faithfulness only to say in verse 18, do not remember the former things? Don't consider the things of old. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Why? Why is God doing this? Well, God is doing this because he knows that we people, we sometimes get fixed upon things of the past. We get fixed upon the good things, the achievements that we have seen in our past. I had the privilege of attending Paul Ngoma's graduation service at Lusaka Ministerial College. And at the graduation service, the guest speaker there, he reminded all the students graduating with their diploma, he reminded them about this achievement and how to think about the achievement appropriately. He said, today you are graduating. Today you are more qualified. He carefully chose that word, more qualified than you used to be. You will get a piece of paper. This piece of paper will remind you that you are now more qualified. But he reminded the students, don't, and the graduates, he said, don't be fooled. You are still underqualified. You are not yet properly qualified. There is only one person who is properly qualified, and his name is Jesus, and you are not him. Even when you receive a BTH degree, you are still underqualified. Even when you receive a master's degree, you are still underqualified. Even when you receive a doctorate degree like our rector, you are still underqualified for the task. You see, many people who graduate from college and they get their certificate, they say, now I have arrived. Now I've got the thing. Now, I don't need to move forward anymore. You see, God knows that when we look to the past achievements, we get stuck in the past. We focus on the past achievements. This is exactly what happened to Israel. This is exactly what happened to Israel. They actually went into Babylonian captivity because they were too focused on the past. They were too focused on the fact that God delivered them from Egypt. They said, because God delivered us from Egypt, that means we're the chosen people. That means God has chosen us. And therefore, their behavior as a people became sluggish and lazy. They did not do the things that they ought to do in order to be the people of God. Because they were focused on the past. They said, oh, God took us from Egypt. And then, you'll actually see later on in this passage, God reminds them actually that even their sacrifices when they had the temple were not acceptable to God. Why? Because they were focused on the past. who are focused on the past, not focused on the future. Where is God taking you? So we need to forget the former things. Don't remember the former things, because too often we cling to the former things at the expense of embracing what God is doing in the future. And God doesn't want that. God wants you to look to the future to see what He is doing. The past can remind us and illustrate to us who God is and how faithful He is. But the past should not bind us. When we are focused on the past too much, we get bound to the past. Our young son had took his first steps yesterday. We celebrated. Now it's only 3, maybe 4 steps, which he was able to do on his own, but we celebrated. Why? Because Caleb, as he's standing right now, holding on to his mother, that's what he knows. It's the achievement that he knows. I can stand on my feet and I can support myself by holding on to something. Right? That's the past achievement. But he has been fearful to let go of what is supporting him to start taking his first few steps. Just like my son needs to forget that previous achievement of holding on to something so that he can learn a new achievement of walking on his feet without supporting himself. In the same way, we as well. Yes, we must remember the past and past faithfulness, but don't cling to it. Let go of the past and look forward to what God is doing in the future. This is what God is trying to tell these people in captivity in Babylon. They're saying, yes, I know you in... God is saying, I know you in captivity and in Babylon. I know you're not where you need to be. But trust me, I'm doing a new thing. If you keep clinging to the past thing, you're not going to see the new thing. All right? Yes, be reminded of God's faithfulness. But don't cling to it at the expense of embracing what God is about to do. We've heard here this morning that here at our church, there are some things on the horizon, some new things that are happening. And if we keep on looking towards the past, we're not going to be able to handle these things properly. We have established a working committee here at Christ Church Lusaka. And this is good. This working committee has work to do. And this work, by the end of the year, we want to achieve certain goals. This is a new thing. We need to put our energy and our focus into seeing what is God going to achieve through this working committee. We want to purchase land as a church. We need to look forward. We can't just be clinging on to Golden Peacock as our rental options. No, we need to look forward to how is God going to help us to get through this wilderness, get through this challenge of purchasing some land, or at least finding a different place we can rent where we have access to the venue 24/7. We need better things for our church. We can't stagnate in this place here. There are so many new things coming up in this new year. Wonderful things. Actually, at the end of this year, hopefully, we're expecting one of the GWC students, a lady by the name of Cecilia, who is graduating in the end of this year. She's expressed interest to join our church and come and help us to grow, reach Zambia. That's beautiful. We can look forward to that. Even we are hoping to send Ngoma to GWC by end of this year. We don't know how we're going to get it done, but we need to look to the future. We can't be focused on the past, otherwise we will not see what God is doing in the future. Our growth groups are starting up again. We're hoping to start a new group in Ibex. I trust that's still on the card. We need to talk about that. We've been talking about it for a long time. We've got to make it happen. 2025, let's focus on the new thing. Let's not stagnate by focusing on the past. We as a church need to be looking forward, not looking backward in fear, but looking forward in faith. Now, I know there's a difficult thing for our church to go through this year as well. Rasford and Lena, I know this is a difficult journey ahead of us. And even as a church, as we walk together with this couple, we need to walk in grace and in truth, not looking to the past, but look at the future. What is God doing? In the future, how is God restoring this relationship? How is God restoring us as a church? How is God bringing healing? How is God bringing revitalization through this experience that we as a church are going through? So let's not look to the past. Let's look to the future. God is doing a new thing. Let us forget the past and look to the future. That's what the next verse says. Look there with me. Verse 19. Behold. The word behold really means look, see, look, behold. I am doing a new thing. A new thing. Look, it springs forth. Don't you see it? Don't you see it? What am I doing? Well, the new thing I'm doing, says God, is I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. A way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, I'd love to show you a map of Babylon and Jerusalem. I wonder, have you prepared it for us? Moses, won't you just push the magical button? Let's see what happens. Yes, there it is. Okay, there is a map on the screen behind me, and you can see Babylon to your right-hand side and Jerusalem to the left. I also want you to see going up to the top left-hand corner, there is a river going up in that direction. That's where the road normally goes when people wanted to travel. They have to go up alongside the river because between Babylon and Jerusalem, you can see, this is a satellite image, that is a desert. That is a desert. There is no one who can ever pass through from Babylon straight to Jerusalem because there's no water to drink. It's a wilderness area. You cannot get from Babylon to Jerusalem by going direct. It's a desert. And God is saying to the people who are in Babylon, he says, I will make a way in the wilderness. I will put a river in the desert. So the way is a river. The way to get through the desert is to have water. The way to get water is to have a river. And God is saying, I know you're in a desert place, but I'm going to get you out of there. How am I going to get you out of there? I'm going to make a way. I am going to put a river in the wilderness. It's a new thing that God says he is doing. I will make a way in the wilderness. I just want to remind you for a moment that Israel was in Babylon because of a different way. They had chosen to live a particular way, which ended up with them being in captivity. God put them there in captivity in Babylon because of the way that they were living. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12, reminds us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way leads to destruction, leads to death. Israel was walking on that way, and they ended up in Babylon. They ended up in a place far away from their hometown. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. They were in captivity because they walked a way that they thought was right. I don't know about you today. What way are you walking? Remember, there is a way that seems right, but the end leads to death and destruction. Maybe today you have found that you're in a place, a desert place, a destruction place. And if you look back to the way you've been walking, maybe you will see why you ended up in that place. Because you chose a way which is not the way that God was making. It's not the new way that God was making. You chose a different way. God is making a way in the wilderness. Isn't it interesting that in this situation where the people of Israel are in Babylon, the obstacle that they are facing is quite opposite to the obstacle they faced when they were delivered from Egypt. In Egypt, there was water in the way, and in order to get through the water, God needed to put a path, and he separated the water. And God did that for Egypt. But the new thing that God is doing is so drastically different. The obstacle now is a desert, and God says, I'll put water. So I want you to see, brothers and sisters, that we can't, as much as God is faithful in the past, we must recognize and keep our eyes open for the new thing He is doing. And He has promised in His word, what is that new thing? And we're going to see a little bit more that God has provided a way in the wilderness, not just for the people of Israel, but for you and me. For you and me, we have a way in the wilderness. The way to get through the water, the wilderness, is to have drinking water. Look at what this verse continues to say. Verse 20, the wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. Why? Because I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, to give them a drink. To give them drink. For what reason? So that they may declare my praise. Brothers and sisters, the desert is an obstacle. I don't know the desert you're in right now. Maybe it's a desert of sin. Maybe it's a desert of walking in ways that you thought was right, but you've recognized it's brought you to a desert place, and you are thirsty, and you are dying in that place. I want you to hear these words this morning. God says, I'm doing a new thing. I will give you a drink in the wilderness. My chosen people. For the ones God has chosen, we're going to learn more about this in our series coming up, The Doctrines of Grace in Tulip. The ones that God has chosen, God is going to choose and has chosen, and He is calling you to come out from that desert place. And He says, I'll make a way. I will give you drink. I will give you drink. I want to read a verse to you. You can write it down. I want to read a verse to you. It comes from the book of John, chapter 7. I want you to hear these words. You can turn there, but it's the words of Jesus in John chapter 7 from verse number 37. You can take a note of it and read it later. It's a very, very beautiful words of Jesus. Listen to these words. Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out from his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. If anyone thirsts, if you're in a desert place and you are thirsty, and you realize the way you've been walking has left you in a place where you have this thirst, Jesus says, if you thirst, come and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, I will give him to drink the living water. And from his own heart, out from his own heart, rivers of living water will flow. Brothers and sisters, can you believe it? That God will want rivers of living water to flow from you who are now thirsty. Isn't that beautiful? Your thirst is not only quenched, but your thirst is quenched in such a way that you can lead others to water. You can bring the same living water to others. In the desert place, I want us to be reminded that God will make a way, and He will put a river in the way. It is a way of water for drinking, for refreshment in the wilderness. This is the new thing that God is doing. For the people of Israel, yeah, God did take them from Babylon. God didn't actually put a river in the desert that you see in the picture. God didn't put a river there. The way they left Babylon and arrived in Egypt was they went along the first river I showed you. They went up the normal way, along a different river. And they reached Jerusalem. They got back there. So clearly God was talking about a different river here, because the river is not in that picture. Right? God is talking about a different river. What river is it? Well, let's read on and we'll discover. You will discover. Look at 43 verse 22. Verse 22. God says, you did not call upon me, O Jacob, but you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings or honored me with your sacrifices. He goes on to say, you have burdened me with your sins. Verse 24, the end part of verse 24. You have burdened me with your sins. Now, this passage from verse 22, 23, and 24, those three verses are separated from another three verses, starting from 26, 27, and 28. I want you to see those by verse 25. You see verse 25? I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. This actually, in my understanding, is the river which he's referring to. God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions. The first three verses before this, verse 25, is talking about how the people of Israel, when they were in Israel, when they did have a temple, they were not bringing sacrifices that were pleasing to God. They were just sinning and sinning and keeping on sinning and saying, because we're the people of God, we have this land will never be taken from us, this temple will never be taken, because we are the people of God. Look, he took us through from Egypt through the Red Sea. They looked to the past and they did not do what God required for them. They did not look to the future and they just stagnated there. And in their stagnation, they did not bring sacrifices that were pleasing to God. Their sins just increased. And yet in verse 25, God says, but I am he who will blot out your transgressions, not for your sake, but for my sake. I will not remember your sins. Verse 26 to 28, again, he says, hey, let's try and look to the past. Try and argue. Put your case forward. Try and prove yourself right. Verse 27, your first father sinned, that's Adam. Your mediators transgressed against me. Therefore, I will profane the princes of the sanctuary and deliver Jacob to utter ruin and Israel to reviling. Now, here in verse 28, in the ESV Bible, it is put to us in the future tense, but it can very easily also be read to be the past tense. And actually, what God is referring to is the destruction that they were facing right there and then in Babylon. So the reason that your temple was destroyed was because you did not bring proper sacrifices. The reason that you are facing destruction is because you walked away that was not right. Your fathers walked away that was not right. Your mediators transgressed against me. You are in this position you are because of your sinfulness. Yet, verse 25. Yet I will blot out your transgressions, and I will not remember your sins. How is it? Think about this. How is it that God can provide forgiveness to the people of Israel when the very means of forgiveness that he had given them, which is the temple, was destroyed? If they were supposed to be forgiven in the way that God had given them in the past, they needed a temple. But they had no temple. How can God blot out sins? Well, I'll tell you how. He's doing a new thing. He's making a way in a wilderness that's not there. He's doing a new thing. Don't remember the past. Don't remember the sacrificial system of the past. No, that was pointing towards something else. It was pointing to the new thing that God is doing. It was pointing to Jesus. Jesus is the way. We read for us John chapter 14. Let's quickly go to John chapter 14. I want you to see a couple of things there. We need to look to Jesus to reconcile, to be reconciled to God. Look, that's my fourth and last point here. Look to Jesus to be reconciled to God. In John chapter 14, I want you to see the very, very famous verse in this chapter first before we look a little bit deeper. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Brothers and sisters, friends, we often put ourselves into a desert, dark place, in the wilderness. And we know that the only way to get out of that place is to come to the Father. As in the map we saw where Israel was in Babylon and they needed to get to Jerusalem. We might be in a place we're not meant to be in because of the way we chose to live. But we know we need to be in a different place. But how do we get there? We need the way. There is no way. It seems impossible. God says, I am making a new thing, doing a new thing. I'm putting a way in the wilderness. Jesus says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this morning, I want us to be reminded. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. I want you to be reminded this morning that the only way to Jesus, the only way to the Father, is through Jesus. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the one who gives us water to drink, as we saw in John 7, verse 37. Jesus is the one who sends the Holy Spirit, here in John chapter 14, verse 16. Look there, he says, I will give you a helper. This is the Spirit of truth. This is the living water. This is his presence. I will give the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who reconciles us to God, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 17 through to 21. Jesus is the one who reconciles us to God. He is the way to God. Jesus is the one who makes you a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. God is doing a new thing here. If you want to be new, if you want to be a new creation, you must be in Christ. In Christ. Jesus is the way in the wilderness. He is the water of life. Going back to Isaiah 43, I want to point out a few things. We've already seen Isaiah 43, verse 25. God says, I will remember your sins no more. I am the one who blots out your transgressions. I want you to see in chapter 44, though, some other things there. Verse 1, God says, I have chosen you, Israel, whom I have chosen. Verse 2 is repeated there. Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. God is the one who chooses. God is the one who chooses to forgive you. God is the one who chooses to save and deliver you. Just like he chose Israel, he also chooses you and I, so that our sins can be forgiven. Look, verse 2 says, don't fear, I will help you. I formed you and I will help you. Church, Christ Church Lusaka, we as a church looking to the future, we're going to need God's help. God has chosen us. God has established this church. God has given us a vision for the future. We're going to need God's help. And he says, yeah, I will help you. But maybe you, in your own individual walk with God, you also recognize, I need help. Well, keep trusting God. He's proven himself faithful in the past. And he has promised to do a new thing. Keep trusting him. He says, I will help you. Look at verse 3. He says, I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on you. This is the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the one who sends this spirit. God says, I will help you. Brothers and sisters, please, as I close here, I want us to be reminded to keep looking towards what God is doing, not only in your life personally, how God is going to grow you through your faith in Jesus Christ. But also, what is God doing in our church? How is God going to help us move forward in 2025? No matter what the past looks like, let's focus on the future. Yes, God is faithful in the past, and he will continue to help us in the present, and he will help us in the future. But let's focus our vision on what God is doing in the future. And let's take steps, practical steps, to advance with Jesus towards the future. You know, if we try and build this church and move forward without focusing on the new thing that God is doing. And when I speak of the new thing, I want to remind you, the new thing is Jesus. Jesus is the way in the wilderness. If we try and build this church without focusing on Jesus as the way, we're going to miss it. And we're going to build our own empire and our own kingdom, and we're going to land ourselves up in Babylon, in a desert. We don't want to do that. We need to focus on Jesus. He is the way in the wilderness, and we need to lead others to this way. We need to be engaged in evangelism, reaching out, telling others about the way, who is Jesus. We need to be involved in discipleship, encouraging one another as members to know Jesus better. We need to be able to be focused on transformation through this gospel. We cannot move forward without the way. Jesus is God's way to provide water to drink in the wilderness. Brothers and sisters, let's trust in Him. Amen.